revelation to me, and I hope it's not a revelation to you this morning, this passage of Scripture. I hope it wasn't like a ton of bricks like it was with me. I had a dream about this, and I have to tell you about it as I was studying it. Didn't realize what it was until the next morning. And because of this study that we've got before us, I gathered my family, I think it was Wednesday morning, Susan, or so. And because of this scripture, we are retooling our whole family at the house. We are literally taking the basket of apples, in this case some rotten, some beautiful, and oranges mixed in that should have been eaten 2 weeks ago. And we're taking that basket and we're flipping it over. And everything from scheduling to entertainment to studying God's Word to everything in our lives is being turned upside down. And this passage of Scripture has caused me and my family to do that. And so I don't know if Tommy knew exactly what he was doing when he handed me these books.
Thanks so much.
But it has caused my family to look inward. And what I'm going to ask you to do over the next 2 to 3 weeks, we're going to study this. And I'm not a Jim and I'm not a Tommy, like I said before, but I'm going to need your help in you going home this week. And I want you to take an inventory, a personal inventory of your spiritual life and the spiritual warfare that's at your home. Because if you don't know that it's there, it's present, it's there. If you look hard enough, it's all around you. You don't have to go to Walmart, or you don't have to go to Target, or wherever you go during the day when you need to go shopping to go into spiritual warfare. It's there in your home. And the urgency that I have for you today is that we've got to take our home back. We've got to take our lives and look at them, take the inventory, and I'm talking about everything from entertainment to your schedule to your priorities to everything. And look at it with spiritual binoculars, microscope, whatever magnification you have in your mind, look at them with that instrument, which is the Word of God, and see what it tells you. It was shocking to me. It was absolutely... at my house, we call it the Brianna wow factor, and I'll tell you about that later. It was one of those things that... It was one of those things that really... it's so big, it's so large, that's before you that you don't know until you start moving away from it or you take a perspective. Now, I'll go ahead and tell you the story real quick, and I'm sure you've got some of these in your family, and I know Brianna will love me for this. When she was a little girl, she's probably five, maybe. Of course, her twin is sitting right next to her. We went to this Noah's Park in a little bit Bastrop, south of Bastrop area, Smithville somewhere. There's this Noah's Park. You remember that, Tommy? Used to have animals out there, exotic animals, and they had everything from Africa, from the Amazon. They had, I mean, and this place wouldn't finally broke because they couldn't keep these things fed, basically. They ate so much. But we would go in our Suburban. I think we only went twice. We bought a season pass for this thing because it was so fascinating. But we only made it there twice. And you'd get in your Suburban or your car, and it was a drive-through zoo type of thing. And there was a few places you could get out. And they had a humongous rhinoceros. And I'm telling you, this thing was huge. It looked like it was 15, 20 foot long, and it was about this tall. And so it was as big as the Suburban. And we drove up to it, and we were just so fascinated. And Brianna, at that point in time in her life, she was just fascinated with singing songs, and she would sing into this fake microphone that she had. And she was really into it. And we were talking about the massiveness of this animal. And we were talking about how big this thing was, and the horn, and the size, and the weight, and all this stuff. And we were parked right next to it. So when she looked down, all she saw was black. Because it was obvious to me that that's all she saw, because as we were driving away, she looked up and she goes, "Wow!" And that was the Brianna wow factor. And you have some of those things. Well, that's what I had this week. But it was in horror more than it was in enlightenment. It was one of those things where, you know, it just you it's there, but you don't see it until you take the magnification word of God. So let me set this up for you. Paul, in one of his famous prison epistles, great book of Ephesians, he's in jail. He's writing these epistles, and I was reading, I was thinking about, you know, where do I even begin, because of the, literally Tommy gave me lots of material, the Word of God. I got all these concordances, all of these study books, but I think we need to start a little bit behind where we're going to go. He instructs, look at, and just look at your headings real quick behind 6:10 in Ephesians. He gives, and where I want to start is just kind of brushing through, is in chapter 5, he starts talking about walking in love. And then he goes from walking in love to walking in the light. And then he goes from walking in the light to walking in wisdom. And then he goes into marriage. And he starts talking first to the wives submitting to their husbands, and then the husbands loving their wives. And then he goes from there into children obeying their parents. And then he takes it away from the house, and he goes into employees, listen to your employers, and then employers, treat your employees right. And then he sets this up, and then he says, now read with me now, starting in 6:10. Then he says, finally, my brother, and you know, this finally, it's the word, now comes the rest. Now sit down and hunker down, because if you think it was important before, guess what? You have spiritual warfare before you. This is very important. Now let's read the passage from 10 to 20. I have the New King James Version, so that's what I'll be reading for. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Some of you may have schemes. Some of you may have, you know, other words as such. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up your whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand before, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, And then he finishes up this area with 19 and 20. And for me, that utterance may be given to me that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So I dove into this scripture this week, and I said, what does this mean? What does this mean to me? How do I personalize it? For the next couple of weeks, if you will allow me, I will take us through this venture of what is spiritual warfare. Where is it coming from? Who are these people? Who are these spirits? What are we to do? What is Paul telling us to do? And one thing he doesn't tell us to do is to go out and fight them, go out and find the fight. If you read through the scripture and through all of the scripture, in fact, the Bible tells us in Proverbs to flee from evil. It doesn't say go out and find the fight. Here he tells us again and again to stand and be ready. And the only offensive weapon out of the six pieces of armor that we're going to talk about is the Word of God, the sword. That's the only weapon that the Lord Jesus Christ Himself used when He was tempted by the devil. And that's the only one that we should use as we come up against this fight. Now let me tell you how personal this was to me as I was reading this past week. And I really don't want to bring my home to you this morning in that way, and I don't really mean to be so vivid, but I don't know how but to do this. And so this is how real this was to me today and this past week. I'm reading this. I'm looking at all the books that Tommy gave me. I've read most of the heart of the items that he gave me, a couple of sermon books. He gave me this wonderful book on John MacArthur that we're going to look at. It's called The Believer's Armor. The Letter to the Ephesians by Curtis Vaughn. And of course, there's and boy, look at this. And he told me to guard this with my life, and I am. Apparently, this thing has gone through a lot. It's called this is a book. It has no front, no back. And this is what happens, men and ladies. If you have kids at home, I'm sure this. I don't know, but I have books like this that I love, and the cover, the front, the back. Brianna and Andrew, when they were little, they decided to just tear them apart. I don't know what they did with them, but. And then here's this analytical notes on Ephesians by Dr. Dwayne Spencer. But as I was looking at all this, I did know where God wanted me to learn from this, and I started going, wow, the Brianna wow factor started coming, and it crept up. It didn't come at me all at once. It just kept on building and building and building. And I would go to bed and go to sleep late. And then I had a dream. I had a dream that just took it over the top for me. In my dream, I was at home. The kids were inside the house somewhere. If you guys know how I live, where we live, we have this big, huge metal barn that we live in. And then we have a driveway that comes up from the back. That's about half a mile. We got one about three quarters of a mile that comes up. And I have these iron gates out there. I'm pretty fortified from, and it's way out in the boonies. You got to know exactly where I live to know where I live. It's really hard to get to me. And I'm out there in the yard. My wife is in front as well. And usually when people come out to see us, they call us first. And because, you know, if you make the drive out all the way out there, we may not be there. We're gone. It's like an hour's worth of drive for everybody. And these gates are locked all the time, not to keep friends out, but they're up all the time. and I hear this noise of this roaring vehicle coming down. And to my surprise, I look up, and this van, this pretty good-sized van, comes in and puts on the brakes and starts sliding on my gravel road until it comes to a standstill. And I look up, and I remember, you know how dreams can be so vivid, and my heart starts beating because I know this is trouble. The doors fling open to this thing, and out come these guys dressed in blue, and they're up to no good. And all I can think of is, where's my gun? Where's my rifle? And I start to run towards, and I yell out to Susan, get in the house, and then I wake up. And when I wake up, you know, I'm wide awake. It's probably 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. It's real early. And I can't go back to sleep. And I start asking the Lord, what is this? And this scripture came to life for me that way. It came to me like boom. After I analyzed this, the only thing that I came up with, I came up with a lot of things, but that is the Maganya life. We have spiritual warfare in my home. And the enemy's coming in, and he's infiltrating. And anywhere that I haven't given my life totally to God, he's attacking. And there's these demons. They're right here in the Bible. We're going to read about them a little more. They are the devil's agents, and they're attacking every part of my life that I don't have fully given over to my God. Now, I know, you know, we can talk about the process. We could teach this morning. We could talk. We could learn about the process of giving every part of your life over to God. Because for me, it is a process. I have to understand what I'm about to give up. I have to, you know, it's the me factor. And it's a process for me to give my part, this part of my life, over to God. And sometimes it takes us a whole lifetime to give something over to God. And sometimes the suits come in your life, and you see the evil one come in and park right at your house and saying, I'm coming and taking, especially if it's easy to take. So I ask you this morning, and, you know, hate to put it to you so bluntly and so, but I don't care if you're a young person, if you're a married person, if you're single, if you're not, if you're a grandfather, if you're a grandmother, if you're a daughter. We've had the serious talk at the house already. We need to really take an inventory of our home and in our lives and see how this scripture applies to us today. And Paul, now get this picture. Paul is sitting there in chains in the jail. And he has so much time. I think he's got a lot of time on his hands. I mean, this man is just sitting there. And so he writes these beautiful epistles, and God providentially gives him this perfect Roman soldier with all this armament in front of him. So he starts writing, and when he says, you know, put the belt of truth on, which we're going to talk about first, and it may be this week or next, it depends on how much I talk today, and how many questions you got, and where we want to go, because I can go anywhere with this. And when he puts this belt of truth on, and by the way, it's one of the pieces of armament that you have to read between the lines that he's talking about the belt. And then the shoes is another one. But the other pieces of armament he calls out, because he's visually looking at this, and he studied this Roman soldiers, because this Roman soldiers is part of his life. They're guarding him. So he has nothing but to look up and go, what, you know, can you imagine being Paul and starting to write this thing? He's already talked about your relationships with your wives, with your mom and dad, with your employer. And now he says, oh, by the way, you're in spiritual warfare. And here's how you're supposed to stand. Here's how you're supposed to dress. Here's how you're supposed to act. And I'm going to give you a vivid picture of what that looks like. So what does he do? He takes the Roman soldier, and I don't know if you can see this,
but it starts taking apart the soldier's armament piece by piece, and he says, this is the most important part of the soldier's armament. This, every piece of armament has a purpose, and I'm going to tell you what it is, and he puts it into vivid pictures, and he gives it to us piece by piece. He calls out 6 pieces of armament.
And it's amazing to me how this man, when you look back, he's got all this time, and he says, oh yes, look there's a sword. It's standing right there. What is a sword? That's the only offensive weapon he gives us, and that's the Word of God. And he tells us about prayer at the end too. That could be used as an offensive, but in this case, he uses it for supplication and more defense. But he also talks about shodding our feet, fitting. Another word for fitting our feet with what? With the gospel of peace. Make sure that you're standing firm. So start getting this picture in your mind. Then he talks after the belt. He talks about the breastplate of righteousness. And then he talks about the helmet of salvation. And then what else does he talk about? He talks about the sword. And then what else does he talk about? The shield. And it was very impressive to read about the shield. Now get this picture. The shield at that point in time, the Roman shield, was 2.5 feet wide by 4 feet tall. And the shield was covered in leather. Some of it was covered in light metal. And one of the pictures that Paul tells us is that so it can stop the fiery darts or the fiery arrows of the evil one. The shield of faith. And so as you look through all this, you're going, I'm having the Brianna wow factor as I go through every one of this. And it was amazing to me, the revelation that the Lord gave me through the scripture. And that's why at the Magana house, we took the basket and we did what the Japanese call the kakaku. We flipped the whole thing over and said, there goes our schedule, there goes our Bible studies, our whole home studies, homeschooling, there goes Tony's job, there goes everything, the kids, the raising and everything. We're going to look at every aspect of our lives. And so it's pretty serious in my house right now, but it's peaceful. It wasn't peaceful when we started talking about it. Our eyes got this big. We started. It was interesting when the Lord is between believers, and I mean Brianna, Andrea, now young adults, and they're not little kids anymore. The things that they have to offer, the revealing things that they have to tell us, and as a man, as a father, with all the pride that I have, the ugly pride. I had to swallow some of the stuff they were saying because it hurt. And so and that's the kind of inventory, that's the kind of thing that I want you to think about, because what I want to do over the next couple of weeks while Tommy and Sue are out taking care of their family out in California, I want to go through and I want to look at the setting. I want to look at the enemy, who he is, what he is. I want to learn a little bit about them through the Word. I want to know about us, how we are to stand. We're not to go out and fight. We're not to go to Las Vegas and find a fight. We're to stand at home and fix our home and stand with our sword about us and our shield and our breast of righteousness and planted firmly in the ground with the gospel of hope. And as we go out to the employer, you're going to see, as you go out and start having fights with the husband and wife, which we do, the enemy can attack all of these vulnerable areas. The enemy can attack at all times. And you've got to take an inventory. You've got to say, how do I apply Ephesians 6 through 10 and take over these parts of my life? And so, I know it's serious, and I know it's sovereign, but this is reality. I come to find out this week that we are in a spiritual warfare, and we need to deal with it, or it deals with us. And then our life becomes a rut, and it just becomes life. And it's not for God, it's not for His righteousness, but it's for the king of the air. And so, any thoughts from among you? What I had thought next week that we would do is I was going to make this a time of sharing. You don't have to personalize it like I did this morning, by all means, but you can share some. And I think that read with me the last part of this. Go to, real quick before anybody answers on this, and read with me, starting from 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance, with all supplication for all saints. Here Paul is saying, pray always. Start with prayer. We certainly started with prayer that Wednesday morning, because I didn't know how I was going to tell my wife and kids that our life was a mess and we needed to upside down the whole apple cart. But we also need to pray for each other. I know that I thought about individuals in the church. I wonder how they're doing in this area, in this huge area that we're about to talk about. I wonder if I'm the Brianna among the group of Grace Bible Church, and all of a sudden I just saw the rhinoceros, and you guys have been talking about it all this time, and you're sitting in your chair right now and going, duh, Tony, what are you talking about? We've been in spiritual warfare since we became Christians. Yes, but I would submit to you that at the Maganya house, we got in a rut. And we need to take back each corner of the house, each nook and cranny of the house, of our spiritual life, and we need to take it back from those guys in blue suits that got out of the van. We do. We're going to do that at my house. And it doesn't come quickly. It certainly, they quickly came and took it, because we had a lot of weaknesses in our defense system, because sometimes, in my case, I looked at some of our defense systems and they weren't even up. They weren't even present, because I didn't know to put them up. Entertainment. We could talk about that all day long. How's entertainment in your places? Do you have kids, beautiful kids like the Lord gave me, and do you let them watch whatever they want to watch? What happens when you do that? Oh, terrible things happen. Just that area of entertainment. What about you? What about you, Tony? Yeah, I need to improve a lot in that area. And so on, and so on. And you can go through it each, and it is a spiritual warfare, and it is. It is sobering, and it is tough, but it's something that we've got to talk about. And through Tommy's and Sue going out to California, through him coming and saying, here, you need to read, through all of this, we're all going to get blessed for it if we allow it. And so I'm asking you, and I'm submitting to you, I would like to take this passage of Ephesians 6 through, or 6:10 through 20, for the next couple of weeks, and I want to get our table of these chairs, and I want to put them in a circle, and I sort of want to be I'm the one that's going to go home and study and look in depth, but I also want you to do the same thing. But the first thing I want you to do for next week is I want you to take an inventory of areas where your defense system is weak, and where the Word of God is going to have to come in and play a role in that area. And I want us to help each other. I want us to be brothers and sisters in Christ. And I want us to pray for each other. And I want us to pray because there's a huge blessing in this. And we're going to start at the beginning. We're going to reread this a few times until it sinks in, until we all get to the point, not to where I am. I don't want you to, just because I'm up here, but I want to get to your area to where you say, I've checked these areas of my life. You can do this in your own person at home. And I've checked this and I'm fine. And I wish we could have even a gauge, like, how is your... Can you use the sword? Can you use your only offensive weapon that the Apostle Paul talks about? Can you use that today? What does that take? It takes intimate knowledge of the Word of God to be able to do that. Are you ready? Are you ready to go help me fight the blue suits that come to your house? With the Word of God? Can you stand? Do you know the gospel well enough? The gospel of peace? Can you stand? Can you put on that gospel of peace every morning and shod your feet, fit your feet with the gospel of salvation? And so, I've talked quite a bit, and what I'm going to do now is I'm going to open up this little book on the Believer's Armor by MacArthur, and I'm going to go through it, and I'm going to give you a little bit more background so you understand why Paul was writing this. What was going on in Paul's time when he wrote this around him, outside the jail? Where was he when he wrote Ephesians? Does anybody remember? Who was he writing it to? That's right. So the church at Ephesus, there's a young man that he gives this letter to, and we'll talk about him, I'm sure. I couldn't pronounce his name at the very beginning when I started reading it. But that's right, Don. The church at Ephesus, he's writing it at that point in time because they needed it. As I went back into the background and started reading the books and started going deep into the subject, right at Ephesus, there was one of the seven wonders of the world at the time, the Temple of Diana. And the Temple of Diana, you can look at it as Las Vegas today, Atlantic City, whatever. It's a huge place. A lot of immortal things happened there. It was just a bunch of stuff, worldly stuff that was happening around them. And this church with this small group of believers was growing at Ephesus. And Paul is writing to these guys to instruct them and to give them these instructions. And so as he went through again telling them how to live their life, now he tells them, look around you, the fight is coming to you. You need to be ready for it. So let me tell you a little bit about their history at Ephesus. In Revelations 2, 1 through 7, it says that they left their first love, but their history is this little group of believers in Ephesus was able to infiltrate and purify parts of this wretched city that was literally just going down to hell. I mean, and you can imagine, I was imagining Ephesus being Las Vegas, and this little church was planted right in the middle of Las Vegas, and they were taking the city over through their work. Through the work of Jesus Christ. The Ephesian church started out as a tremendous church. They were hardworking. They were patient and enduring. They were intolerant of sin. They were dealing with false teachers. And they were always motivated to glorify God. When I read this, I was like, that describes Grace Bible Church. Think about that. Hardworking, patient, enduring, intolerant of sin, dealing with false teachers, and motivated to glorify God. But here was their fatal flaw. This is a church where love died at Ephesus. They had orthodoxy and activity without love. They had forgotten that they could be effective for God apart from loving the Lord with all their heart and all their soul and all their might and all their strength. This is one of the greatest churches in all history. Yet the Lord's penetrating eyes found this fatal flaw. They turned in their hot hearts for cold orthodoxy. And then we have the warning. The warning coming before the remedy, of course, because you've got to know that you're sick. If we ever get the place where we do as an orthodox performance with love, and we have all that allowed that Satan accomplished this to the first step of his plan, and you know, you start looking at the warnings in my house, the warnings, you know, what happened? Why wasn't I awake before this past week? I keep on asking myself questions. Where were you, Tony? I was there, but I just wasn't seeing the rhinoceros in front of me. It was everything was black. And basically, just like the warning here, you can kind of look at this as this is where the honeymoon ends. This is where you think everything is great and all that, everything's good, and then everything stops. And you go, oh my goodness, I am where I am. And so you got to deal with it. And so the warning is that we look at our own life and we ask ourselves, one of the things that I ask myself as well as part of is, and also the church in Ephesus, is the enthusiasm for Christ still there with you? Is it there every day when you get up? Do you have to turn on the radio to listen to music to get it pumped up? Or is it there naturally? Does it come naturally to you through the Spirit? Personal questions, but you've got to ask them. Do you love things that you have at the house over the things of Christ, what we're talking about? Do you gravitate towards something either on a daily basis or, man, once a week, I gotta have this. Man, I have to have this. Without this, life is dull. What is that in your life? So the warning here is, did you lose your first love? He first loved us. Remember that? In Ephesians here, when he talks about predestination, or we were, he knew us before we even knew we existed. James, by the way, has quenched a big old cold, wet mop on me. I thought that we had been created long, long ago. I thought we were running around somewheres in the Lord somewheres, but James says, no, he didn't say that he created us. He said he knew us. He knew of us. He knew us before the foundation of the earth. He didn't say anywhere that we were created. And boy, that really got me thinking, well, what were we? And so I'm sure that that's another doctrine that Tommy can teach us on at one time or another, but it was very profound. But he knew us before the foundation of this world. He loved us before the foundation of this world. Before Tony started having spiritual warfare, before even I thought about this, he loved me. And so that's the love that I'm talking about. Now let's talk about the remedy. If you feel that you've lost your passion and love for him, you must do three things. Tony, you got to do three things in order to fix the problem that you have at your house. Number one, you got to remember how your love was before it grew cold. I remember, who remembers when they first came to the Lord? Who remembers when they first knew, you know, the Brianna factor in coming into the Lord Jesus Christ? Who remembers that? If you grew up in the church, if you grew up in a Christian home and it was brought up, you're very blessed. You didn't have to have that wow factor. But some of us were not. I was raised Catholic up until I was about 11 years old. And then I had the wow factor to the Lord Jesus Christ when about 16 years old. And I remember that first time. I remember those weeks. I remember those months. Man, you couldn't tell me about anything else but Jesus Christ. We need to remember those. You remember how you guys, if you guys are married, Susan and I like to do this. We like to remember when we first met. There's something about that. When you first meet, you remember that, and you start shaking your head, and you start laughing, and some of us may start crying. I don't know, but you've got to remember that. It's really neat to go back. It is neat for me and my wife to go back and remember. You have to remember the first love with the Lord. One of the things, before I go on, I have to tell you this, is spiritual defection usually comes from forgetting. Don't forget. Now I'm asking you to remember. So, number two, you have to repent. When you think about, when I want to remember how much I love Susan, I don't have to do very much, but if I really want to go back, I remember the beginning. I remember how we met. I remember how. And so you got to remember. And then you got, in this case, we have to remember our first love with Jesus, with Lord Jesus Christ, and now we have to repent. Lord, forgive me for not loving you on a daily basis like I have been. Forgive me for not knowing who you are every time I wake up in the morning. First thing that I think about is that stupid coffee in the morning. I'm like, do I smell it? Do I smell it? It is a drug. You have to remember, then you have to repent. Repent not to have that first love is a fall from which you must repent. And then, after you remember and then you repeat, or you repent, I'm sorry, I'm reading. Then you have to repeat. You have to repeat what you first started with. Go back to how you used to be. Repeat your first works. If your service is cold, mechanical, orthodoxy, go back to where it all started. Get back to your knees. Get back and get that love back. I have to stop here and ask you guys, does anybody want to share? Because we're going to have to stop here and we're going to start again next week, totally different, in a circle. And I'm going to bring that little man dressed, and we're going to take apart his armament as Paul is describing. Can anybody share with us their first time when they first came to the Lord? Can you go back to that time and share with us how it was that it came? Was it a long process? Was it like a wow factor? Did you grow up in a family that you didn't have a chance but to become a Christian? It's neat to go back and see how God found you. It may have been through an evangelist coming through town. It may have been through your dad saying, you will repent, and then rebelling against that, and then coming back around. It may be like me coming across the border, not knowing, my dad and mom not knowing anything, and then some Christians taking up the Magana family up in their home. James was a little bitty square baby about this big. He was. He now is a square baby about that tall. And so we remember these things, and we because he wants us to. He said, remember me, and this is how we get back to it. We got to remember back our relationship I had started with Christ. So, for the next couple of weeks, while Tommy and Sue are gone, we're going to have fun. And we're going to... we're going to look at every thing that Paul is talking to us about. But what I want you to do, you do have homework for next week, is I want you to read the passage that you have in the handout. And I want you to think about, before you put on the armor, before you stand with the armor, before you receive the final pieces of armor, before you do any of that, I want you to take inventory, personal places of your home, of your spiritual life. And I want to know if you're bold enough to tell me. I'd like to know if you don't have spiritual warfare in your life. And I would say, don't say that to me. You know why? Because if you're a Christian, you have spiritual warfare. You have to, because the enemy, I can't imagine what happens to these demons and to these principalities. And as soon as we become Christian, can you imagine the stirring opposite of what happens up in heaven? There is a celebration. But just think about what these awful creatures go through. They probably stir and they can't wait to start picking at you. Let's see, what's weak about this one? What are we going to take over? What are we going to feast on? And so Paul is saying, you got to dress up and be ready for battle, because the battle is coming to you, whether you like it or not. It's here. And so I want you to go back and read this passage and read it to yourself. Read it with your wife. Read it by yourself. Read it with somebody else. And start taking inventory of what it looks like around your home. I'm not going to ask you to share next week, but we're just going to dissect every piece of armor and everything that Paul has us to look at. Okay, well, it's Jim said we got to finish at 20 after. So I'm even over. So I hope that this will be a blessing to you as you read this and come back next week, and then it'll be a totally different format, like I said. And so be ready for some interaction. So you will have speaking parts next week. Yeah. I want you to share with us. Let's go to the Lord and let's pray. Father God, thank you for the introduction to this precious scripture in Ephesians 6, 10 through 20 this morning. Father, you are the Prince of Peace. You are the person whom Paul is talking about for us to dress ourselves with. All of this armament, all of this pieces of armor, all point to Jesus Christ. All Paul is telling us is to dress ourselves with Jesus Christ on a daily basis, on a life. Father, let us acknowledge your word and let us look at it in depth next week. And Father, just thank you for your revelation this morning, and thank you for this brethren that came this morning to hear. And Father, just give me focus so that I can lead us next week. And we submit that we are your children. We submit that you are our Lord. And Father, we dedicate the rest of the day to you. Bless our body. And thank you for the privilege of being your children. In Jesus Christ, we name. I pray. Amen.